Ducky Bubba was the term of endearment that my great uncle Jim had for me from the time I was a baby. An equine specialist, he was the first registered veterinarian in New Zealand. When they began registering vets in the 1920s, he applied for registration and was granted it, not because of any qualifications that he had, but because of the skills that he had learnt on the job. He lived in a small weatherboard cottage through the Lawsoniana hedge from our family home in Appleby. And one of the rooms was a treasure house for us. It was full of gruesome instruments and endless books on horses, one of which had those very clever illustrations, which one showed the musculature, one showed the digestive system, one showed the reproductive, etc. And the last was the hide and hooves. I tell you, it provided us with endless entertainment as kids. And he was a man of very quick wit, which as a preschooler I didn't really understand. But one of our great loved family stories about great Uncle Jim was he went to a horse fair in Brightwater and there was a smart young auctioneer. Jim was a fairly dishevelled looking creature, I do remember that. And he had a very thick Irish accent. And he asked the smart young auctioneer what was the breeding of the horse. The smart young auctioneer, looking at the dishevelled creature in front of him, said, "It's a cross between an Irishman and a donkey." "Ah, in that case, related to both of us," was Jim's riposte. He was a man of few housekeeping skills and was known to harbour ferrets in his bedroom if he felt it was too cold for them under the house. And one day, as a preschooler, I remember discovering two live crayfish in his bathtub. But he was a man also of infinite wisdom. He told my mother that he never married because he knew he would be a hopeless husband and father. Would that others had such wisdom. And but one of the reasons for his bachelor state was his infinite capacity for spirituous liquor. But I only remember him as a man of infinite patience, because when I was a child, I was allowed to stand behind him on his moth-eaten couch. He had a big round ball of a head with only a few wisps of hair, and I was allowed to hit his head with the plastic back of my hairbrush because I loved the sound it made. And he never once stopped me. And he also had always had an infinite supply of chocolate for his ducky bubba. So this is all as background. Well, in fact, I suppose context, I think, is the word we use these days, context, for this particular story about my beloved Uncle Jim. It was 1959. My parents were going to a wedding. Now, judging by the age of a lot of you in the audience, you'll remember that in the 1950s, weddings were always held in the mornings. 9 a.m. was a very popular time, so the wedding breakfast was just that. So Mum and Dad were off to such an occasion, and as was the case in many, many times before, Uncle Jim was called on to look after the four little girls, which was the catch-all phrase for our family at that time, me and my three older sisters. So we loved being looked after by Uncle Jim, because of his copious supply of chocolate, but also because what could only be described as his fairly lax approach to supervision. So off Mum and Dad headed, and we were left in Jim's charge. For the morning, Mum and Dad come home at about noon after the wedding. Mum comes through the Lawsoniana hedge in her wedding finery to see her three-year-old daughter, as myself, sitting on the ground next to a puddle, sucking a dead mouse. Retrieved in that state from the said puddle. She leaned over, grabbed the mouse from my mouth, flung it as far as she could, deposited it also near on a hedge, and choking back tears of disbelief and shock, said to Jim, "How could you let her do it, Jim? How could you let her do it?" And Jim said, "Ah, it's kept the ducky bubba quiet for hours." So, explains a lot, eh? So Mum then, for the next week, watched me like a hawk, you know, for fear that my immature immune system might be overwhelmed by some rodent-borne virus. But I didn't get so much as a sniffle, and probably my immune system was strengthened by my mouse-sucking episode. But it's not an immune-strengthening system to be medically recommended. But anyway, one of the long-term consequences of that story and of my husband's knowledge of that story is that occasionally, when he's at the very end of his tether with his garrulous partner, offers me, on a plate, a dead mouse. In the hope that, as it did when I was three, it would keep the grown-up ducky bubba quiet for hours.